Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
More celebrating continues here. We do apologize that there is some exultation language that got on, and we have taken measures that microphone is not turned on now. And they continue to celebrate here, and they will into the night.
Our microphones remain on, and speaking of partying, as we welcome Lawrence Holmes, I wanted to point this out before I'm done for the week with tomorrow off, and I don't say this very often, we have a lot of fun at the expense of Rockford, and whether it's callers, texters, etc. I've lived there for 3 years. Truth be told, I had an awesome time when I lived there, and I made some terrific friends who are still, you know, in the Chicago media today and even work in this building. So I rarely say, way to go, Rockford. Did you see their Jurassic Park?
No.
For Fred Van Vliet?
For Fred Van Vliet.
Rockford's finest.
Of Rockford, 2,000 people.
Cool.
Showed up at the City Market Pavilion for Jurassic Park Rockford, and they're expecting that many or more tonight. And there have been a lot of reporting on it. Just fantastic that they would think to come out and party. It does my heart good to see people caring about professional basketball in Rockford as hard as I tried to literally and figuratively sell some version of pro basketball there when I worked there. This is really cool. It's great that they came, and obviously an excuse to party is great, but for a son of the city to have...
He's very proud of being from Rockford.
Yeah, he is. But cool. To have this outpouring, my hope is that it's bringing people together from both sides of the river. I hope it's not just one side of the river that is there, that there are people actually from the west side of the Rock River who are coming across to be part of this.
I think that's really cool. That's an outstanding thing, and we'll see what happens tonight.
Hopefully Pascal Siakam hits a damn shot for his guy.
Maybe. I enjoyed you guys' conversation about Disco Demolition, and yeah, I will tell you that it's weird for me because I consider Steve a mentor. Like, I truly adore Steve Dahl.
God, yeah.
But I also grew up in a house where house music was the prevalent music because my brother is a house music legend. So hearing from people in the house music community, disco kind of begat house, and knowing that Frankie Knuckles grew up, you know, right around the corner from the ballpark and had already started like his journey of making house a bigger musical, what's the right word, genre than it was. I do understand people that look back and go, what's happening here? Is this a repudiation of my lifestyle, of what my culture is all about? I don't think, in having talked to Steve about this multiple times, I don't think that he did it with malice.
I don't think so either.
And I
agree with you.
But still, I do think that even he would probably cop to there being a hipsterism about it. Like, oh, well, you know, this is this thing that's happening now. Like, that's not real music. We do real rock music, and real rock music is what needs to stand the test of time. This is just a fad or whatever. And as you pointed out, Dan, like, you start to see the elements of disco find its way into rock music, and then it begets house music. Some of those things find their way into hip hop. Some of those house music then gets co-opted by European dance music. And so, I mean, like, it had a life of its own, but for a lot of people during that time, the late 70s, early 80s, when disco and house music are becoming, you know, bigger things, that it was a safer place to be. Like, it was going to the warehouse back in the day. Like, that was where you found a lot of counterculture in Chicago finding itself. And I do understand anyone that would look at it and go, man, that felt like someone was trying to take down my culture.
Yeah, it needs to be said outwardly that the house music in Chicago was affiliated with the black community and the black gay community.
Facts.
And that is, and it's really important that they, that was part of music fashion in this city, immensely important to modern dance music, like you say, EDM, even some aspects of hip hop, that they was coming out of clubs in Chicago, creating that music for that culture.
I mean, I'll just say that I haven't even talked to my brother about this, but I'm sure that we'll have the conversation at some point. When my brother was DJing parties, like, it honestly, like, house music, his involvement with house music kind of opened up my worldview from that perspective, because a lot of the places that he was DJing when he's, you know, 17, 18 years old were gay clubs. And so you end up having an appreciation for what that music meant to a lot of different groups of people. And you'll see it when the Chosen Few picnic comes up, which has kind of turned into a whole thing. Now, it used to be a softball game behind the Museum of Science and Industry, and now it was a 2-day festival. I think they're back to just having it one day over there off 63rd, which the street is now the Chosen Few DJs away on 63rd. But that, I think that that's the other element for people in Chicago, in the black, Latin, gay community in Chicago, there are people who felt like it was a bit of an affront to what they were living and seeing. But again, I don't think that was Steve's intention. But sometimes even the best intentions end up getting corrupted. And absolutely.
I was explaining to Connor, too, just to how things were so different 40 years ago. I was 10 years old at the time, but not in Chicago. That was my very first summer at North Star Camp, leaving for 8 weeks in mid-June, coming back in mid-August, as they still go now. And we knew something happened, but we were time shifted by a week, because it took for somebody to actually put a Tribune article in a letter and send it up to us. Obviously, counselors found out. There's like something happened, and you're getting all this stuff second and third hand. It's like, wait, my first thought was the White Sox had to forfeit a game? What the hell, man? And then you found out, and we got all of this game of telephone about what the hell happened. And it wasn't until I got home in August to actually read some of this stuff and hear some of the stuff about this incident, because it seemed so wild that you couldn't discern what was real, what some kids were making up, and what happened.
You know what, I figure, especially for a guy like me who didn't live through it, and comes from the background that I do anyway, I just, reading the article this morning and thinking about it a little bit, even listening to your perspective on it with your brother, Lawrence, like, there's no harm in going back and reconsidering what an event did to a certain amount of people, or
sure,
a certain type of person, or a certain group of people, or whatever. You know how annoying it is to have somebody not listen to you?
Yes.
I mean, like, it's really, you know, people hate that. Humans hate not being listened to. So I try and consider it from that perspective. It's got to be really crappy who, like, for 20 years or 30 years, for a group of people to finally go, yes, and no one listened to us. Like, that has to suck. So I kind of think it's a responsibility of mine specifically, and probably other people, to just listen for a minute. Just listen to that other perspective.
Well, I think
like a hot minute.
The trick bag, though, for this, as far as the White Sox go, is there's a difference between acknowledging your history, commemorating your history,
and
celebrating
it. Yep.
Like, that's where they're finding this to be a little bit of a landmine for them, because they do, and the White Sox do, like, they do have house music night. They do a lot of different things outside of the ballpark before you go in, and this is one of the things that the franchise is known for. So how do you balance the history of it and the commemoration of it with that line of maybe we shouldn't celebrate it? It's a really interesting conversation. It is a layered conversation that I think is having talked to people on a lot of different sides of this discussion, it's interesting to get that perspective. And I will implore you, I've been telling everyone this, Connor, because Dan's not coming, but Connor, you are someone, if I invite you to Hyde Park, you're not coming. So I just know that already.
You know I'm coming.
But
I love Hyde Park.
Whatever. But I know that Connor will at least consider it. Silver Room Block Party, July 20th, up and down 53rd Street.
I have a wedding.
Come, damn it.
It's like literally the one day in July I have committed.
All right, well then maybe I'll invite you to the Chosen Few picnic.
That
I'd
go.
And you can come down and see what's happening there.
It's been a while. It's, I need to get down.
You might want to get down before they start putting the buildings up.
What?
You know.
What are they doing?
Well, you know, the Obama people just kind of came in and said, oh, eminent domain. We're just going to tear this park up here on 63rd and Stony. We're just going to lay down this plot of land before the judge says it's okay.
You're telling me people in Hyde Park have a problem with that? I can't believe it.
Yeah, we're it'll be an interesting
Don't
struggle.
Take my stuff.
It'll be in it because we save the point and we'll do whatever. Like, we're an interesting breed down there because you had folks, the University of Chicago type folks that love Hyde Park, like going to the point back in the day when Rahm was trying to, Mayor Daley and Rahm were trying to gentrify it. And they were like, yeah, exactly.
Yeah,
like chained to a tree. Yes. So that there wouldn't be any Meg's Field nonsense happening over there.
I'm also told Teddy Greenstein told me to play South Shore, which I have not done. I played Jackson Park, but he said South Shore is the spot. So
yeah.
I'm going to make a trip down there relatively soon and give that a go.
Well, they're supposedly, Tiger Woods is thinking about connecting the two.
That project, I'd heard that. Not doing great.
That's what I heard too.
That's going great.
It's a little difficult. There's a lot of landmass that you have to navigate and people live there. It's a whole thing. Gentlemen, thanks for the great discussion. I appreciate it. That is Dan Bernstein and Connor McKnight. You can hear them every day, 9 a.m. until noon, right here.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.